everyone, welcome back to Dream Girl. If you're new here, I'm Sheen, your host, and today we are in London. We are doing another cute series in London, and I'm super excited to welcome two powerhouses on the podcast today. And I can't tell you what amazing work they're doing, not only to redefine what sisterhood, success, and growth mean, but also dear friends of mine. And I'm super excited to welcome them for the first time together on the podcast, Courtney and Renee. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
First of all, congratulations to both of you.
Thank you. So much
has happened. You don't even know what I'm saying congratulations for at this point. There's just so many things that have happened. But mostly for doing an incredible work for to my sisters, the podcast, the live events. The last live event you did where you both wore purple, Lamide and I were like, we need to start matching outfits.
That's it.
This was a vibe. But honestly, incredible job. How does it feel? I mean, Courtney, you've been on the podcast before. Yeah. Renee's your first time, but...
First time for everything.
How does it feel for you guys to look back on the journey now?
Man, first of all, thank you for having us.
Honestly.
Like, we were just singing your praises before the camera started rolling. But honestly, to see your growth, your dedication, and also how many risks you've taken that have paid off is so inspiring, Sheen.
Thank you.
This podcast is everything. The women that you bring on, and it's really an honor to just be in the lineup and to be back. I was like, my first conversation with you was so... tug at cheek. I was like, I might be a bit too controversial.
She's changed. She's been refined since
But, you know, we both have. We grew up. Media training and all that. But no, it's been a crazy couple of years. Like the last 4 years of building Two My Sisters from a podcast to a movement of women has just been a testament of what it looks like to have faith. Like faith in God, faith in womanhood, faith in the sisterhood, and women really pursuing each other and platonic friendship. And I think we've seen the power of not only building a community, but the power of having a community, like the power of women championing you, supporting you, wanting to see this community thrive and wanting to see other women thrive. I think it's really restored my hope in humanity more
that
generally.
Part.
Yeah, because there are so many cultural narratives around friendships, relationships, society at large. And just to see sisterhood in action over the last 4 months has been really heartwarming. Mm-hmm. So I think it's even less so about like metrics and like these big, amazing dream things that have happened, but more so just to bump into a sister and have be like, you know what, I'm really rocking with the sisterhood. And it's like, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Love it.
No, I completely agree. It's been probably one of the biggest privileges of my life. Like the last few years have been such a privilege because sisterhood is transformative. Mm-hmm. It really is transformative. And I think for a lot of us as women, as Courtney was mentioning, there's so many negative narratives that are peddled around womanhood, sisterhood, friends, all that kind of stuff. And to actually have a space and create a space where it genuinely feels like, wow, I have an authentic platonic community around me is honestly life-changing, especially in an age where we're seeing the rise of loneliness, where a lot of us are hyper-connected online, but in person, we're isolated and we're feeling lonely. To actually know that we have a sisterhood that is both digital and transcends borders, but also something that's in person where, you know, you can be stopped by a sister on the street and say, hey, you know, not only do I listen to your podcast, but I'm actually part of the community. Like, I'm actually part of that. Yeah. I'm bought into being a sister means more than we could possibly express. And I think what's been so beautiful about this journey has been how much it has changed us too. When we started Two My Sisters, we were some hunky-dory, like, besties. Yeah, like, 20, you know, early 20s. Yeah. Hopefully, we're still looking cute and beautiful because, you know, sometimes you be getting old. But we were two hunky-dory, like, besties that were very much about sisterhood, best friendship, all of these good things that we were able to drink from and draw from. And we realized that we wanted women to also have that. And over the years, being part and parcel of not just our own stories, but also the stories of such incredible women and being able to platform that through our podcast, through our events, through the things that we get to do in our philanthropic work. Honestly, it's been a privilege. So that's the word for me, privilege.
Oh, I love that. And honestly, I remember when you launched Two My Sisters, we kind of started on the journey around the same time.
Yeah.
And I remember, as you said, it was all about bringing women together. But you think it, but you never realize what that means once it happens. And then the experience of it is incredible. And I've met people who are absolutely in love with the community that you're building here. So you should definitely be proud of that. And I love what you said, because we are pitted against each other all the time.
Yeah.
Especially in careers and jobs and stuff. I realized that my worst managers have always been women.
Ooh.
And I was like, what is happening,
Why is that?
Yeah, it's serious.
You know, as you said, do you want some tea, herbal or bubble?
Maybe a bit of both.
Maybe a bit of both, right? But no, and I think it's really important, especially for the coming generation. Mm-hmm. So I teach at university, right?
Come on, professor.
Jeez, doctor.
I'm sorry. Another thing. Doctor. Obviously, us actually. The same way I got my master's, we literally crossed each other in the street and you were collecting your PhD. And I was just like, do you know how cool it is to like be friends with another woman who's literally collected her PhD the day you get your honorary master's? I was like, I am your biggest fan.
Truly. Oh.
And it was just, it was a big, big, big moment. And so, well done to you.
Honestly.
But yes, tell us, professor. You'll be teaching in university.
Doctor.
They still call me Miss, by the way.
Wow.
In university.
Wow.
Miss.
Yeah.
Miss.
Oh, God. With a lisp as well.
Where did the lisp come from?
You know? No, I hope my employers don't watch, but anyway.
She loves it there.
I love my students. But you see, loneliness is really real.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know who to turn to, because social media is there. Mm-hmm. And you get a lot of crap. Right, you have to navigate through the garbage to find things that actually resonate with you. And I think that's why it's important to put out this type of content, to remind them of the importance of platonic friendships, of female friendships. Honestly, I don't know who I would be without my female friends. Honestly. I feel like they've literally shaped the person that I am. And we need to remember this. But now I want to ask you both personal questions based on this journey, yeah? What has been the biggest learning curve for you? Something that you had to unlearn about yourself throughout this journey to be able to come here today. Hey dreamers, quick pause from the convo. If you are wondering what the Dreamers Digest is, it's my exclusive online community where I share behind the scenes goodies, lessons from building this podcast, and all the juicy stuff that never makes it to the final cut. If you're not in it yet, check the link in the show notes and come join us. It's 100% free. Also, shocking fact, 89% of you watching this on YouTube right now are not even subscribed. Wild, right? So if that's you, go ahead and hit that button. It would mean the world to me. And now, super exciting news. We launched the Podcast Academy. This is where I've poured everything I've learned from taking this show to 150 million views and turning it into a real business. It's 10 powerful modules packed with tools to help you launch, grow, and actually monetize your podcast. You'll even get the chance to submit your episode for personal feedback from me and my team. If you've been thinking about starting a show or scaling the one you already have, this is your sign. Click the link in the description box below to learn more. Now, back to the episode.
Ooh, that's so deep.
Straight for the jugular.
So deep.
We ain't even like 10 minutes in.
That's good. That's a really good question. You know what? I think it's embracing how not only people change, but you change, right? Your goals change, your idea of success changes. And I think at some point, especially like nearing our late 20s, and like we're getting closer to 30 now. I've got a couple of years though.
We're
nearing 30.
Okay, why are we hating over the 30s?
No, I'm just saying. Before, because we usually get the whole, we thought you were 35. We thought you were 36. We're 27.
You know?
So anyways, just to set the record straight. Yes, exactly, right? Exactly. Like we're so young. Mm. And I think being so young with this ambition and this drive, you forget that you're going to evolve. You're actually going to change. Your motivations are going to change. What you're chasing after in life is going to change. Your body is going to change. Your friendships are going to change. Your relationship status is going to change. So this, you know, this moment at 23 when we founded this podcast and, you know, like we were saying, we're very much like, we're besties and we're going to do this. Yeah. 4 years later at 27, we're like, we're besties, but what does besties also mean? And what does it look like now we're getting married? Yeah. And, you know, what does the podcast now look like in this season of our life? Like, for the sisterhood, we're currently going through this phase of like embracing our seasons, like, because so many things are shifting. And I think what I've learned about myself is the entrepreneur you were at 21, 22, 23 yeah. is not who you're going to be at 27, 28, 29. Both are equally as beautiful. Mm-hmm. Both are equally as amazing, but you're going to change and you need to learn to embrace the difference, mm-hmm. right? And learn to lean into the challenges that difference can come with, because you have to grow up, you have to mature, you have mm-hmm. to discover, what does success mean to me now? What relationships in my life actually matter to me, and in what ways do they matter? And now, how do I need to show up now that I'm this more mature, more evolved person? And I think while we have this moniker like glowing and growing, I think I didn't realize how painful growth can be.
Yeah.
You know?
Boy.
Mm. It really is. And sometimes growing doesn't always look like you're glowing. Like sometimes you look dusty, but it's growth. But it's growth, you know? And so now it's learning to kind of like adjust to the growing pains and now make that look shiny and glowy as well and feel good. That's what I'd say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, about this stage.
When we ask for growth, especially from God, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just pain. Oh. You're asking to be challenged. You're asking to be removed from your comfort zone. And then we're like, oh no, I don't like this, but you asked for it.
You asked for it. That's how the stretching comes, yeah. right? Like the growth comes from the stretching, and stretching is painful. Stretching hurts. Every muscle that you're used to using, suddenly it's hurting. Boy. And it's like, ooh, I've got to grow. Yeah. I've got to be torn in order to be repaired better. So that's where I'm at. How about you?
No, that's beautiful. I think similar but adjacent, unlearning the pressure to have arrived. Mm. I think one thing that I have always struggled with is definitely perfectionist tendencies, or like, oh, I'm a productivity girly. I love self-improvement. I love all of that kind of good stuff. But I think there's so much pressure for us to have arrived or be at our final destination that we forget that this is a journey, and emphasis on the lifelong. Mm. Becoming a woman is a lifelong journey, and womanhood will look different at different stages, but it also doesn't mean that you've arrived. And so getting to late 20s, entering and crossing over to, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, womanhood looks different in all of these phases.
Yeah.
And there is, when I get to those phases, I won't have arrived then either.
Mm.
So it's embracing that this is actually a journey, and the journey comes with its ebbs, its flows, its peaks, its troughs. Sometimes the valley lasts for a really long time, a really long time, to the point where you even start to doubt whether you arrived at all. And it's important, at least for me, and I would hope for a lot of women, to unlearn the pressure of arrival, or rather the pressure of trying to be this perfect caricature. And I think that that can even exist in friendships as well, right? Mm-hmm. In and amidst women, right, it's very difficult to let people peek under the covers. It's very difficult to let people see under the rug.
Yeah.
And I think as women, there's so much of our life that kind of forces us to arrive or show up as like that perfect caricature, right? It's a conversation that we've been having, but also with like some of my other friends, where a lot of us as women are denied girlhood. Like we're denied the privilege of being a child, just being a girl child. And I genuinely believe that one of the most underserved populations today is the girl child. And part of that unlearning arrival is actually speaking to and giving space to my inner child and my inner girl. So one thing that I've really not even learned, but started to learn, and I'm actually really starting to get to grips with, is listening to my inner child. Ooh, that hurt me. Ooh, I really like that. Ooh, this is a moment that's really tense for me, and I can literally feel myself regressing to that inner child. And so one of the biggest learnings that I've had so far, boy, you don't have to have arrived. Getting there is enough. Do you know what I'm saying? It's almost like going on a long haul flight with loads of layovers.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, yeah, we finally made it to, I don't know, like France. But it's like, no, the destination is Australia. Yeah. That's a 23-hour flight, baby. It's going to take a long time. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
We're not there yet. And the cost of thinking that you're in Australia when really you're in France. Just think about that even like mentally, right?
It's,
I have to show up as though I'm in Australia. It's a completely different climate, completely different ecosystem, completely different culture. Mm. And it means that you end up being behind in your mind when you're actually exactly where you need to be.
Yeah.
And so unlearning, I don't have to have arrived yet. Mm. I don't have to have everything together. I can listen to my inner child as well. Mm-hmm. I don't have to deny myself the phase of girlhood or being a girl child. Mm. I deserve that. And if it was robbed from me, then actually I'm worth spending time on that process before having arrived.
Yeah. That's so good. And I think it really comes down to like cultural experience as well. Like if you're a black or brown girl, you already know the parentification or adultification of us, right? Mm-hmm. As black and brown girls. Mm-hmm. It's like you could be 10 and your mother's telling you, you better take care of younger siblings, or you know, you're 15. Are you gonna do this in your husband's house?
I don't even know
if I like men. Like
when did that happen?
I don't know that, man.
You know, and all of these things, and I think we grow up with that same mindset, right? Which is I had to grow up so quickly that I don't know what it means to not be a grown up.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think we can begin to over-index on this maturity, over-index on, you know, this idea of I don't feel pain. I don't need to be taken care of. Mm. I don't need someone to hear about my feelings because I'm just going to internalize all of it for the sake of maturity. Mm-hmm. I think you're completely right. A lot of us have been denied girlhood and that season of our life, and it means that we're lacking a certain foundation for our womanhood as well. Like womanhood is just an evolution of girlhood, right? That's when you learn a lot about femininity or a lot about your voice, a lot about your uniqueness, your role in society. And if you've skipped that whole portion because they were trying to rush you to the adulthood part, you haven't really got that foundation of just being a girl. And I know it's like a trend online. I was at an event yesterday with one of the leads at TikTok, and they were talking about how one of the trend forecasts for 2025 is girls just being girls, you know, girl dinner, girl this, girls love to brunch, girl makeup, girl math, you know, girls just being girls. And I just thought to myself, like, a lot of us haven't been taught how to be girls.
No.
Like, no wonder it's such a trend and fascination now in our late, you know, 20s, early 30s.
Because being told we were not allowed to be.
We weren't allowed.
Right, we were not.
Mm.
It wasn't trendy. You know, going back to your point, Renee, this reminded me of this study that I watched. You must have seen it, where they brought in like a group of 4-year-old girls and a group of 4-year-old boys.
Yeah,
and then the chef made some dessert for them to try, but put salt in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys immediately like spat it out, saying this is disgusting.
Yeah.
And the girls just ate it, being like, this is the best thing I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, good job. Why? Because they have empathy from that age to know not to hurt someone else's feeling.
Yeah.
It might sound cute, but it's not. It's because from a young age, we are taught to take care of our surroundings, to show empathy. It's
at
all outwardly.
Expense.
It's not inwardly ever. It's not about you can take space.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to say this. You are right to feel a certain way. And that's exactly what you're saying, that we didn't have that space growing up, especially being black and brown girls. When you grow up, you don't take space. You are lucky to even be in that room.
That's it.
Don't complain.
That's it.
We all went to Oxbridge.
And what's even really damning about that fact as well is how it manifests in adulthood, right?
Yeah.
So when I even think about like ADHD diagnosis, right?
Yes.
It's most likely to manifest in women as ADHD masking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And when we think about our experiences in healthcare as well, the fact that many of us we tend to minimize our pain, but even healthcare providers actually misdiagnose us,
or
we don't get the treatment that we need because they miss something because they think that we're exaggerating our pain. Do you know what I mean?
Dramatic.
And these are very like integral parts of how we experience humanity,
about
our day to day. The fact that we've had to internalize so much to the point that even the world around us has picked up on that, right? Like they start to minimize our pain and suffering. Think about how many of us as women are going through pain and suffering, and it's not just us internalizing, but it's actually the people around us that are not giving us space to validate our feelings.
Yeah. And it manifests in our relationships so often so much.
Mm.
And also our relationship with ourselves, right?
Mm.
How many of us have really taken time to identify, I am hurt, or I am facing trauma, or my body is tired, and actually giving ourselves the grace and the space
to give ourselves rest and healing and being able to speak up and have that awkward conversation despite how uncomfortable it is. Mm-hmm. It really is damaging for a lot of us in our adult experience. And as you recognize, even with the healthcare example, it's life-threatening. A lot of women, black women, black and brown women are dying, especially black women. And when we look at maternal health statistics, a lot of people are dying. And I think that's why sisterhood as a space is so important, because in your adulthood, it kind of retrains you when you have healthy friendships, right? You're creating a space where we're saying, hey, sis, your voice actually matters.
Right.
You know, you articulating your boundaries is actually really important. And if you can learn to do that with your friends, you can learn to do that in your workplace. Mm-hmm. If you can learn to do this with your family, you can learn to do this with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whoever. And I think for a lot of us, we are struggling with this idea of articulation because we've internalized so much and we've gotten so used to it that when we enter into spaces where our voice is necessary, we can't speak and our voices are necessary.
Yeah, because you know, I noticed this about myself, which is crazy because we all have podcasts here, but I would rush through my points sometimes depending on who's around me. And then I thought, but why? I've explained this so articulately before. I was like, why do I sound stupid? And I was like, it's because I'm rushing through it because I feel like I don't want to lose this person's attention because they might not want to listen to me for way too long.
Wow.
And then you realize that's because I've been trained to be this way. I've been trained to think, I need to earn this person's attention for them to listen to me because they don't look like me. And it's so interesting. Can I just say, by the way, I put a pause. This is why I love sisterhood, right? We all have such shared experiences. Yeah. We understand where each of us are coming from, even though we're very different people. Yeah. But we have all of that in common. And having this space where you can share this and be like, oh, it's not just me. This is great. Yeah. This is a great feeling.
Yeah, it is. It is.
This is amazing. But also going back to what both of you mentioned in terms of, you know, different stages in life, right? We have different phases, which is very normal. But I think theoretically, I knew this was happening. And then I hit my 30s, yeah? Yes, I am older than these two. And
you're so funny.
And then you start seeing things change. And then you realize that in order to ascend to the next stage in your life, you need to say farewell to the previous stage sometimes. And this can be in the form of friendships as well. And especially for me, life has transitioned so quickly over the past few years. I moved countries. I quit my job 3 times in 4 years.
That girl. That girl.
Boy, that part.
That part. And then started doing a job that's very public, right? And people seem to think that they know what you do. They know your successes, but they don't see the hard work or anything behind. And that has led to a lot of changes in terms of my relationship, in terms of how I view myself and how I view relationships in my life. And then I've been asking this to practically every guest, but you know, when you leave one stage and before you find your next stage, there's like a period of loneliness in between.
Yeah.
Have you girls experienced this?
Several times. The loneliness of the liminal space, literally. Yeah. Like, it's just, when you're in between two seasons of your life and you're in that liminal space of, okay, I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not where I want to be, or I'm not where I think I'm going, where the heck am I, right? It's you're rediscovering who am I, who is here and who's not here, because what you tend to find is the people who are meant to leave are leaving and the people who are meant to come are not here yet. So you're also like, so who's at the party?
What's the delay?
It's just me in a big room. And that's scary. That's really lonely. It can start to make you think, have I made the wrong decisions? Am I making the right decisions? What's going on? And I think what happens in that moment is you're reassured of the frameworks you've put in place in your life. Like you're reminded of the anchors and the foundations that you have, the things that are really keeping you sane. Like honestly, in plain terms, it's the things keeping you sane. It's the people who love you no matter what you're going through. It's your sense of self-value and self-worth as well. The things that are not attached to accomplishments and milestones. It's just, you know, regardless of where I'm at, what age I'm at, where I live, what job I have, I still believe that I am important. I still believe that I have gifts and I'm talented and there's a purpose attached to my life and I still have God wherever I'm at. And so as much as I feel alone, I'm not actually lonely, but I'm in a time of isolation to learn and to discover. Because what happens when you're alone is often you start to manifest the things you've been hiding when you're around other people.
Goodness. It comes out.
It all starts coming out. Goodness. Every fear, every insecurity, every negative thought, everything, the devil starts speaking. All the fun things, they come out to play. They all the creepies from under the bed. The creepies, here we are, and that's your time to contend with them, right? And so it requires an immense amount of strength. But sometimes you need that, because I think sometimes we can get through things and we forget that we aren't actually ready to handle the next level that we've been praying for.
That's good.
Because we need that shaking up a little bit, right? Like we were talking about earlier about growing pains. You actually need that moment to toughen you up for the next stage that you're going into. And as much as you've been praying for it, this is actually the training ground for it. So last in the liminal space. Because the door to the next season will open. It's just about when you step into it, will you be ready for what's on the other side of it, right? Yeah.
That's so good, honestly. Boy. Nah, well, as you were speaking, actually, it reminded me of a construction site.
Okay.
And like, it reminded me of like, you know, when you're building homes and you start with the foundation and then, you know, it's engineering 101. I'm not a STEM girly, but I'm sure the engineers are listening are like, yeah, Renee,
I'm
that's
an
right.
engineer.
That, there you go. You know what I'm saying? She's probably looking at me like, yeah, Renee, you know, this is 101. So I'm speaking to the general population.
Yeah.
But when you are, you know, building anything, it can be very, very difficult to go back to the foundation once you've built on top of it. So I think oftentimes these seasons are a rare opportunity for us to go back to the foundation. As much as sometimes these things can present like a hurricane or a tornado, the structure still stands. But if the structure is not standing, or we're seeing a little bit of structural degradation, this is now your opportunity to build that back up so that when you lay things on top of it, it's going to stand and stand better. As much of it can feel almost like a nakedness, I think there's something in those seasons that can make you feel so exposed. I think it's actually, as you were saying, leaning into that. What is this season actually trying to teach me? In this season of exposure, in this season of surfacing, in this season of feeling a little bit naked almost and isolated and alone, what am I actually being taught and what is still standing? I think it's so easy for us to have our thoughts preoccupied by what we've lost. And then there's also a bit of us that is kind of like, where are the things that I'm expecting? But we're not really thinking about what's actually still standing. So looking around at you and saying, okay, cool. I feel like I've lost everything, but that's not true. There's still something standing. There's my dignity. There's my sense of self-worth. There's the people that still love me. They're still standing. And leaning into the things that are still standing, because those are the things that you're going to build on top of. So all of the people and the new friends that are going to come, they're going to be but a layer on a community that you've actually already built. That job that you're waiting for is going to come and literally be laid on top of the skills that you've developed whilst you're in your season of transition. So really seeing this as an opportunity, really. Cool. I'm going to make sure that my foundation is as strong as possible so that when the next season comes, or as the season is coming and all of these things are leaving me, I'm going to be able to stand. And I think it's also understanding that like these seasons will come and go. When you're in the midst of something that is troublesome and painful and exposing, it feels like it lasts forever. Trust me. You think, oh, this feeling will never pass. I'm going to feel depressed forever. Forever. And I think even in tandem with this year for us, which is all about embracing our seasons, it's embracing the season, but also embracing that it will end. This too will end. This too will pass. Yes, I'm going through a tough time. Yes, I'm going through a season where I feel as though I'm alone. But there's also going to be a season where I will feel surrounded by people. And also when that time does come, not allowing the pain that you felt in the last season to manifest in that season too. Because there's sometimes a bitterness that we enter into the new season. If you you don't know what I went through. You know what I'm saying? I got my baggage. I got my baggage. I had to deal with in last season. There's almost like a resentment sometimes. Where were you when I was going through
Literally.
It? Where were you? I was looking for you. You weren't there. Not resenting the new things that are now coming into your life and actually experiencing and allowing yourself to experience that when it does come. So moving with the season, there needs to be, as women, more harmony with our seasons. Whatever the season that we're going through, as it's tough, running with it.
Yeah.
But also when that season passes and you actually are surrounded, revel in it because you deserve it. And not waiting for the next, you know, tough season to come. Because sometimes we're, you know, self-sabotage, you know?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Or we're trying to protect ourselves as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I've been through a tough time. I know a tough time is going to come again. So I'm not even going to allow myself to embrace a summer season or a time where I'm actually, you know, joyful, that I'm actually surrounded. And I think that's where a lot of loneliness actually sets in. Not even necessarily just in the valley times, but actually you can be at the top of the mountain and still feel alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because mentally you're still at the bottom of the mountain. Mm-hmm. So really moving with the times, allowing yourself to process the tough times at the bottom, but also when the top, when your opportunity to be at the top and the good things do come, stand there, let the sun shine on your face. You deserve it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And you know what really stood out for me was when you said, what's left? And you said dignity, self-worth. I was like, I would not have thought of that in my list. Because we forget, these are things that we cannot leave behind. And also based on everything that you're saying, there's a big part of your faith in God, right? Because you believe that whatever is being sent for you is the best thing for you at this time. This is your time of challenge. It will end.
Yeah.
And I think that's what keeps you going. And I think that's one thing I struggle as well, because in, you know, like theoretically, you know, you understand, the brain understands.
Yeah.
But it's not quite communicating to the heart, and you're still worrying, you start overthinking, and you think, oh no, but this is too long, nothing is happening. Then we all play the comparison game. You start thinking, well, everyone else is doing okay.
Boy,
why is it taking me so long? Why is this not working out for me? And now it's going to be a little bit of a therapy session for me, I think.
Let's go.
I love
now that I've got you in a room.
That's the disclaimer. Now that both of you have been engaged, help a sister out.
Hell.
So I'll tell you, I've learned to stop saying that all men are trash. I have stopped saying that. I've been told that I'm putting it out there. But it's just been challenging. All the experiences that have stacked up recently have not, let's not say trash. It's been less than ideal.
I'm so eloquent.
Right?
Less than ideal.
Yeah. But how did you two navigate the seasons until you found your partner? And what advice do you have? Because honestly, I feel like right now, all the women are struggling. There's so much. So we did a season which was about dating and relationship. And oh my God, my DMs, the comments and everything, it just feels like everyone is struggling. And I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be the test for our generation.
This is the great test.
But how did it work for you guys? What advice do you have?
That is a great question.
They're like, it's not our problem.
No, not at all. Because this is actually a great community issue right now.
Right? It is. So you've also experienced that people around you are struggling, right?
Oh, yeah, we were struggling.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
We were struggling.
Not long ago,
girl. When I tell you, I was single for 7 years.
Oh wow!
Not even on a date before I met my fiance.
Wow!
But well, re-met my fiance. So me and my fiance have known each other since we were 10 years old, and we've just been friends, family, friends, just, you know, orbiting around each other, lived 10 minutes away from each other. But then obviously we went to uni, split ways, and it was very much like, God, when is my husband coming? And like, I became a Christian when I was around 18. And so my first like sacrifice to God was this little boyfriend I had that, you know, we weren't exactly living holy. So I was like, okay, good. I didn't like it. So you can
little
have it.
Boyfriend is crazy.
My little boyfriend,
fine,
whatever.
Take it back.
And so, we broke up. And literally my prayer to God, as cliche as it was the next guy that I date needs to be my husband. Because I know how I am with relationships. I can get entirely too engrossed.
Oh, me too.
Especially at that time, I was like, I don't think I know how to have an identity outside of a man. So you can take this man and I'll find my identity in you, God. And it was a 7-year journey of learning about me and my talents and my gifts and leaning into community and healing and thriving, like really exploring entrepreneurship, exploring, you know, content creation and traveling. Like I went to like 20 countries. It was a great time. And then 2022, I'm like, I'm kind of sick of being single. And I'm like journaling. I'm like, God, I think I'm ready for this single season to be over. And just sensing like, okay, but if he came, would my life actually be made better? Mm. And I started to realize that like, it would be nice, but it wouldn't complete me. Mm. It wouldn't be everything. Mm. So send it along if it's the right thing. Literally Boxing Day. Well, Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve 2022, I met my fiance. Boxing Day, he asked me on a date, and New Year's Day, he asked me to be his girlfriend.
Santa delivered.
Period.
Goodness.
Man said, I know what I want and I want you. Period. And I said, that's enough.
That's all you
that's
need.
That's enough. That's enough. I don't need to sit here and prove myself. Because I had done Hinge, I had done Bumble, I had done all these things. And all I asked God was, I need somebody who will recognize me without me having to tell them who I am.
Come on now.
And that's it. And so our first conversation, he was like, I see you like this, this and this. And it confirmed so much about what God had told me about my life.
Oh my God.
And I was like, okay, great. So what are you going to do about it, basically? Oh. And he was just like, I mean, I want to marry you. I said, well, make it happen. 18 months later.
Period. That's why she followed that little boyfriend.
Yeah,
sacrifice 7 years ago. It was clear my mind, to clear my mind, to clear my heart, to learn about me, because I wanted to be with somebody who, again, I didn't have to prove myself. Mm. Like I've gone through this journey of 26 years of being this amazing, phenomenal person who I've just learned to love.
Of course,
if you can't see that, it's not me that's going to tap dance for you. Mm. And I think
you don't
that's
have to
what,
convince anyone.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's what a lot of dating culture and podcasts around dating is trying to convince women. You need to perform. You need to outperform every other woman. It's that competition thing we were talking about earlier. Mm. You need to outperform every other woman to be picked.
Mm.
I don't need to perform for anybody. I just need to be who I am.
Yeah.
And if you can't see who I am, then I'm not the one for you. I'm not the one you need. Mm. So leave me alone. Like, leave
Literally,
me alone, sir.
Get out of the way.
Move. Yeah. Like, it's okay. Let me press on with my life. And I had very much made peace with the idea of being single forever and finding contentment in every other thing. And I only wanted somebody who was going to make my life genuinely better and who was going to meet my standards. And I had so many people telling me, you're a dark skin plus size woman, you need to drop your standards.
Oh,
I said, devil,
insane. I'll tell
get
you,
out of here.
Can I tell you what someone told me? She was like, a friend.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, you're in your 30s now. Maybe it's time to drop the standards when it comes to how practicing the man should be. Oh, the devil came out for me today.
Literally, that's get thee behind me, Satan. You know? Literally, and you've got to pay attention to those discouragements that will come, because I don't want to accept anything that God doesn't have for me. I don't want to accept anything that God doesn't say that I should accept.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
I have a standard. God has a standard. Yeah. I'm not dropping my standard for anybody.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
And so it was sticking by that and being okay with the forfeit that could come with holding such a high standard as well. And I guess it paid off for me. But my advice, that's why I always struggle with this question, because since getting engaged, so many people have asked, what's the cheat code? I don't know.
There's not.
There I don't no know. Code. The cheat code of my life and this dating story is let God lead you. Let God be your best friend. Do life with God and he'll lead you exactly where he needs you to be when he needs you to be there. That's all I can say. Like, and it helps you to find everything else in love in life, which is so fulfilling, which you can love. Like, love is not just about romance. Like, in those 7 years of singleness, I developed a deep love for my friendship with Renee, a deep love for podcasting, a deep love for sisterhood and women. That was the love I needed to discover in those 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what helped me to see true love when this man came along.
Mm.
So, do life with God. That's all I'd say.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
That is so good. I hate to be that person that's like, oh, yeah, just piggybacking off. You know, when you're in like conferences and stuff.
Yeah, you're like,
just piggybacking off what such and such said.
Based on what
jumping
Connie
over
said.
The hurdle and the cows and all of that to add to that. But I really do think it is that. It is, you have to surrender. And I think right now, a lot of us are clutching. Mm. Like we are holding on to our conception of what relationships and dating should look like, what this man should look like, or what this woman should look like, what she should be, all of these different things. And I think the game changer for me, I'm really drawn to that moment where I also wrote the letter. I was like, Lord, the next man, I would like for him to be the one for me, the one that you have for me. And I think there is something that is so potent and powerful about surrendering that to God. This is not about you. This is not about, you know, obviously there's a whole bunch of things that would be nice.
Like, yeah.
Would be nice if he
nice
was.
Nice to have.
There's nice to haves.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also an integral core standard, values. Like, do you actually resonate with this person? It's a serious thing to do life with someone, you know?
Of course.
It's not a cosmetic thing. It's not does this person look good? Does this person make sense?
Mm.
Can I do life with this person?
And life is hard.
Life is hard. And do you have receipts in your life that suggest that you're ready to do life with somebody? Truly. Do you have receipts in your life? Which is why we should never take things like friendship lightly. Mm-hmm. That's one of the biggest receipts that I can see both in my fiance's life, but also in my life, that says to me, okay, cool. Maybe this lifelong thing makes sense with somebody. So do you actually have receipts in your life that can attest to the fact that you're ready to do lifelong partnership with this person? Are you ready for that level of transparency? Are you ready for that level of going deep? Like, literally the first like 2 dates that I met my fiance, I was asking that man every single question under the sun. Like, it wasn't interview and all that kind of stuff, but there's certain things you want to get out of the way quickly.
It filters quickly.
All of this dancing around, oh yeah, so by date 7, 9, 10
then talk about money,
talk about this that. Get that done quickly. And his openness and receptiveness to be able to answer those questions, but also come back to me and say, this is what I'm looking for. I think this could possibly be you. Okay, this is what I'm looking for in my life. This is where I see myself in 5, 10 years time. This is what, like, being very, very clear about what it is that he wanted, but also, as Courtney was mentioning, seeing the value in me, but also seeing the value in us.
Right.
Is this someone that you can actually partner with? That's my partner. Right. I remember, I think it was like maybe date one or date two. Literally, I came back and it was you that had WhatsApped me. She was like, oh, how did it go? And I had sent her a WhatsApp of literally just me grinning. I was like, I like this man. I like this man. And it was like, you know those auntie photos that you take where it's like bottom third and it's like you just grinning. So yeah, it was just me bottom third grinning. It was like, I really like this man, Courtney. He seems to be saying all the right things. And I actually have like CRB checks that this is a good man. Yeah. So we're going to proceed with that. And I mean, that was that. Like, we don't have to conceptualize finding a partner as hard.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be hard. Yes, it might be challenging in terms of, you know, sifting out from a whole bunch of nonsense, especially because people are just going through stuff.
Yeah.
But I think I would err against going through the motions and things constantly feeling hard, especially in the beginning. Like, I think if you are unclear, if the person is not intentional, if it's not clear what their values are and you're not clear of what your values are, then you have no business being with somebody.
Of course.
Because those are the foundational elements of any relationship. So I think there's a lot of internal work that often begets being in a relationship and begets that partnership. And sometimes it is a case of, okay, am I ready? But then also in terms of the people that you're meeting, are they ready? If they're not, move on quickly. Don't entertain things that you know are not for you. Stop entertaining them, because that's like literally you're blocking your own blessings. It's hindering you. You have emotions for a man that you know doesn't like you. And I think like the last thing I'll say on that, be with people that like you. Be with somebody that actually likes you genuinely, because too many of us are in relationships where it's clear, or we're entertaining people, it's clear they don't like us. Stop that.
Or they don't like women in general. There's a lot of misogyny going around these days, Sheen. I don't know if
you don't need to tell me.
Exactly.
You don't need to tell me. I know. I've been told.
It's like all of these people that have to go through, you know, the man them there that will be watching all this red pill content. They can't even give you a compliment straight up. They have to do negging.
Exactly.
They can't even give you a compliment
straight
up.
That's the performative aspect of dating. No. Say no.
Unsubscribe.
And it's like control the woman.
Not too much now.
Excuse me. Anyway, we've run out of time. Can you believe it?
Man. Part two coming.
Yeah,
soon.
But final thoughts, any leaving message that you have for anyone watching you in terms of, you know, how to approach life on a day-to-day basis?
I think for me, put simply, do life in community.
I was literally thinking the same thing. Like, you don't have to do life alone. It's okay to need people. There are good people out there.
Yeah.
I like that. Girls, thank you so much for being here. This has been an incredible chat, as expected.
Thank you.
We do need a part two.
We do.
Yeah?
For you, anytime.
Next time you're in Dubai, part two.
Period.